Okay, welcome everyone, and welcome back to another episode of my podcast on the future of business and technology. Today's topic is why everyone should have a connectivity cloud. And to help me untangle this, I am joined today by Ceci Murthy, who is the Vice President of Product and Solutions Marketing at Cloudflare. Welcome, Ceci.
Thank you, Bernard. Excited to be here.
Where are you joining us from today?
I am joining you from sunny California in the United States.
Very good. So it would be fantastic if you could give us a little bit of your background and how you ended up as VP at Cloudflare.
Absolutely. You know, I've been really fortunate to work with some market-leading companies here in the U.S. Like many expat Canadians, I found myself here in California. And I've spent the last many years as a product and marketing leader in the security space and have helped shaped and enjoyed the journey of companies like Bluecoat that really pioneered and led web security in the market. And, you know, great companies like Netskope that are also transforming cloud security from a data protection standpoint. And, you know, found myself at yet another leader at Cloudflare, continuing to look at this interesting shifts that are happening. We keep innovating, we keep pushing the bubble, and lots of things that carry us on the way. But it's been a fantastic journey of security, cloud, networking, important topic.
Yeah, very good. So today's topic is the connectivity cloud. So I would love you to outline what it is from a Cloudflare perspective.
You know, honestly, from an industry perspective, we're bringing forth this notion of connectivity cloud as really being a very simple, unified platform of cloud services that lets us connect anything to anything. And in this environment, being able to do that globally with the security, with the reliability, and with the interoperability you need, we're asking the question of why is that not possible? And, you know, from a Cloudflare perspective, we're making that possible and we're continuing on that journey. But from a very specific notion of what is connectivity cloud, haven't met an IT leader that isn't looking for the ability just to simply put things together as they need to in their business and have it work.
Very good. So what are some of the pain points it is helping customers to address?
You know, it's a fascinating time in the industry. I think the word that every security leader or IT leader latches onto, at least in my conversations, is the word sprawl. I think that the last several years for all of us has been an acceleration of that situation. So what has sprawled? What's distributed? We all know users are distributed and we all work from everywhere. You and I are talking from different points of the world. That's understood. Applications are everywhere. That's understood. But when we really look now at what's going on with data, what's going on with networks and how we want it all work together, IT leaders are faced with needing to deliver on these digital initiatives, mm-hmm. and they're under tremendous pressure to continue to increase the ROI on that. And the environment that they're contending with is partially physical, it's partially virtual, and it's highly distributed. And I think the major pain points for any of these leaders is, how do I put forward a journey that lets me now shift to delivering the dividends on these digital initiatives and being able to be agile to what, not just what the business needs, but what the environment's doing to us. And I think pandemic is, you know, something we've talked about exhaustively, but that was so abrupt. It really put IT leaders in a difficult position because they made a set of investments and suddenly the situation's changed. So I think now the pain point they're all working through is, how do I transition from my environment of sprawl, environment of complexity, and find the right economics and the right technology that can let me start to deliver again for the business in this new normal.
So by sprawl, do you mean that companies just have a whole load of different cloud applications and different applications that are not necessarily natively connected?
They're absolutely right. They're also contending with data that's in many different clouds. That's something also that the market understands. But in addition, they're dealing with security solutions that were really designed for a different time. And, you know, we all have friends in these companies and in these industries. So this is just natural evolution. But IT leaders are contending with having put more and more layers into their security solutions, their security infrastructure. And they're still in a reactive mode dealing with whether it's a ransomware situation or whether it's a data exfiltration that they're trying to root cause and confirm, or whether it's what Amazon and Google and Cloudflare reported on most recently was one of the largest denial of service attacks, which sort of seems crazy. That seems a little old school. This is still what's going on in our environment. So rationalizing all those investments from a security standpoint, saying, how do I simplify this? How do I make the business case work? But how do I actually manage to my risk objectives? This is a hard formula.
So we've got different applications that we want to connect. We have different data sets that are in different clouds, and we have the security challenge. So I would love to look at some practical examples of how companies are actually addressing this, successfully addressing those challenges.
Yeah, great question. And I'll offer, I'll offer the example of one company that I think is quite interesting. I think the backdrop of this is also that there is not a company that is not using multiple clouds for their development and for their data. And so that is also part of contending with things. One of the examples that's a really relatable story is a company by the name of Canva. And for those of us that create, graphics for presentations and so on, Canva is a disruptor. They're an Australian-based company. And they went up through a journey on a connectivity cloud. And whether they called it that or not, they were contending with having to very rapidly address surging interest in the tools and the products that they were making available in the market. And that surge of interest, as you can imagine, suddenly became very global. So they had a few problems. One was they needed to have the scale and they needed to have the global reach very abruptly. And Cloudflare, as an example of a connectivity cloud, the first connectivity cloud, was able to meet that need to help them deliver those applications and maintain a secure posture. But what's fascinating with their example is they were also building on our platform. And I think not exclusively, this gets back to people want multi-vendor choices and they should be able to do that. But by building their applications on this platform, they were in a secure environment on the network and then were able to stand up and deliver applications and pieces of the applications as they needed to at the scale to hundreds and thousands of users everywhere, and then extended the security services and the access to their workforce globally. So we start to see how interconnected the life cycle is of building your digital product, your services, being able to scale and deliver to that. And I think predictability of demand is something we all contend with. And we need a connectivity cloud approach like what Canva had when they suddenly had a surge in interest. They didn't have to go do anything. They were on a platform that was able to distribute that everywhere and deliver to that when they needed it and enable their workforce to be able to access, whether they're fixing the application, whether they're just doing the work and the business of supporting customers and selling, that continuity and that agility became very, very central to their being able to grow and deliver. And the interesting part of how they talk about what they did in that time was to say, they see themselves as simplifying the world of graphic design. It's really easy. You just go to their site and you can download their tools and create on demand. In their vernacular, the Cloudflare Connectivity Cloud simplified security and networking globally for them in the same way. They just came, they build, they deliver, they're working. So they're able to connect all these things, protect their whole ecosystem, and continue to build. So it's very relatable for them. And I thought they talked about that in a very nice way.
Okay, so if I understand this correctly, the connectivity cloud is then another layer that you put on top of your existing infrastructure. So it doesn't mean you have to consolidate on a particular cloud. You just leave things where they are, and then you add this layer that then gives you the connectivity, it gives you the security, and it enables you to. So what is the added benefit, and how does it actually work in practice?
So here's the fascinating part. I think it is added on very elegantly, just as you described. But the businesses that we are working with, 100% are consolidating. And I think this speaks to the ROI. I think top of mind is return on those digital dividends. So as they're transforming and they're able to meet those, they're able to then consolidate what they're doing with their, let's say, their secure access service edge for their workforce is an example. When you're able to deliver the reach of access for your workforce, you don't need siloed secure web gateways or cloud brokers and so on. So I think consolidation becomes an important economic piece. I think being able to do that in the way that makes sense for your business, whether you're doing it office by office or line of business by line of business, the business can dictate what makes sense and create a graceful transition to consolidate. I think the other piece that has helped a lot of businesses in practice is as they're undergoing that journey in their own business to make that transition is to simplify the way that they're looking at policy enforcement. And when you move from, I think the move from on-premise to cloud is still very much underway, but when you're also transitioning from a set of solutions to a more unified approach, you have a chance to not only simplify your policy enforcement and your rules, but understand how that can now integrate with your other ecosystem. A connectivity cloud isn't doing everything that's needed in the IT. It is that connectivity layer that brings everything together. Integrating with your endpoints, integrating easily with whatever your logging requirements are, which are a very important part of compliance and regulatory, that all becomes very seamless. So companies are able to start to take those steps, create those integration points, and roll out these layers. Workforce was one example. Another one might be across application security.
So I think it makes complete sense. Why do you think not more organizations are creating this additional layer of a connectivity cloud, and what is stopping them?
You know, it's a fantastic question. I myself, I think this is always the question of if something is possible, why aren't more people doing it? More people should. I think there are three or four very fundamental tenets to a connectivity cloud approach. And in the industry, yeah, we would love to see people embrace this more. I think tenet number one has to be when we talk about what you and I just spoke about, the complexity of clouds and multi-cloud environments and geographies and different networks. The internet is still the internet. We're all still intersecting with that in many places in our business. So a connectivity cloud approach has to start with the ability to be composable and programmable to that. And those are kind of nerdy words, but I think they mean a lot to the creators and the builders in the digital place, workplace, right? They want to be able to easily integrate with and work with not just different clouds, but proprietary networks and understand how all of that can easily bolt together. That's happening today. It's a pain point. It takes time. It takes people. I'll give you an example. You look at large organizations that are delivering consumer services, say a bank. delivering an application is one piece for you and I to do, you know, banking from home or whatever the application might be. It's not a static thing. That application lives, it gets updated, they make changes. Even that change management in today's structure, it takes several steps and it takes several people and there's change management. A connectivity cloud approach says, why is the application owner not one click away from making the change they need to make with the security and the performance? Why is it three steps and four people? So that's a, I think that's a very tangible and a very real pain point. And that's the composability and programmability. And it should move anything to anything. The second tenant is just the enterprise, the network scale and integration. We all still rely on the internet, whether we are cognizant of it or not. And being able to have a global network that not only integrates with everything, but is able to give you services in every location all the time. So your developers aren't being backhauled somewhere else. It's interoperable. You build wherever, you've got the GPUs you need. Why is that not possible? It is possible. It took an investment and it took a design to do that. But I think that network reach, that interoperability, not just with the internet, but with enterprise networks, is a second important tenet. And it's a pain point again, bolting things together, making sure the network interoperability works. Again, bring in professional services. That shouldn't be where we spend those services. The third and fourth, I think, are very relatable. You should expect to have all of the intelligence of a network and the internet at your fingertips. And I think, you know, Cloudflare's in a, it's got an unfair advantage. We see over 20% of internet traffic. So you see a lot of what normal is. And I think most of us in our own businesses even, we need to know what normal is for network traffic, for data movement, for user behavior, certainly for threat landscape. And the fourth and final is everybody wants a simple interface. Everyone says they have a simple interface, but you can't go in a simple interface and then be introduced to three or four different technologies and silos that have been pinned together. You know, I've been at companies where we've had to do that also. I think a connectivity cloud is the notion and the idea that we welcome everyone to do, which is have a single interface to a single product and a single platform. And that's very much what Cloudflare has endeavored to create and has really created the first one. And we continue to evolve and develop all of these capabilities.
So if there's anyone out there thinking, okay, I need a connectivity cloud, what would be your top tips for anyone wanting to start this process? And what are some of the mistakes they might need to avoid and some of the pitfalls?
Do you mean in terms of adoption?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think the number one tip I would give is really understand your use case, your business case. And here's why I say that. You can start with a connectivity cloud wherever is best for your business. And I always love to give the example of the pandemic. And I worked for a different technology firm at the time. And it, as always, we are focused on the market and how do we help our friends who are IT leaders and security leaders. And I think the conversation was about Secure Access Service Edge as an architecture. The question I was asked in the middle of the pandemic was, should I start with SD-WAN technologies for my network? And I had a simple question. Well, that depends on your people. Our people are all at home. So I don't think SD-WAN is going to help anyone right now. I think you have to think about remote work and client and how you're getting a direct connection through a cloud network. That's a very, you know, extreme example. But I think in today's environment, is your pain point getting apps everywhere? If that's your pain point, you can start a shift to connectivity cloud with standing up applications with the right security architecture and the right network architecture that could start to deliver for your business. That's a good starting point. Yeah. We've seen companies come to us in other examples saying, you know, yes, we're building in all these different cloud environments, but our time from building to standing up is taking too long. We need a faster time to value. You can start by building on connectivity cloud. And as an aside, for Cloudflare, we are uniquely getting approached by volumes and volumes of companies building AI. And why are they approaching Cloudflare's connectivity cloud? They're getting the GPUs at will at location. And they don't want to have to think about that. That's an important business requirement for them and a technical requirement. So they're starting in the develop side and can then stand up and release into production. They're developing in a secure environment. They're able to release and stand up and deliver their applications wherever they want on the same platform. So it's a different starting point. Then, you know, I'll just close with, there are those organizations that are coming and saying, I need a network to standardize on. And we're talking to different companies. And again, as we look at that network modernization, there's an opportunity to think about how are you modernizing for your workforce, whether they're contractors or your own people, wherever they are, and how are you planning ahead for the kinds of digital requirements you'll have, because the connectivity cloud network, in the end, that's what it's designed for. The use cases will continue to get added on. So it's a long way of saying we really need to start where the business needs to. And that's the beauty of the design. And then it becomes a very graceful expansion as your business needs it. It's got to be about the business.
Very good. That makes complete sense. Looking ahead then, we're talking about lots of future technology trends here. What about the future are you most concerned about?
You know, it's funny, technology trend aside, I have to say, the thing that is on my mind the most is just our economic environment. Mm-hmm. And I say that from a standpoint of just what the world is going through right now, not to wax philosophically, but there are a lot of global conflicts underway. And I think technology has found itself in the middle of all of this because it's become a weapon of choice. And I don't just mean threats and nation state actors. I also just mean access. When there's regions of conflict, every industry has to think about what are our moral obligations here? What are the right ethical obligations in terms of access? And I think, you know, I don't have an answer here. I think we have to think about what is the role of technology there. How do we make this a universal right? Because that's what it's become. Aside from the business we have of building and innovating and selling and running businesses, people can't imagine living without access anymore. So truthfully, that's the top thing on my mind as we all go about talking to the market and to big companies. We're also talking to people. Mm-hmm. And I think any companies of our scale are contending with that.
And what about the future are you most excited about?
I have to say AI, and I'll tell you why. It's a big buzzword and so on. It feels like a long time ago that ChatGPT got unleashed. It wasn't that long ago. It's just earlier this year, if I remember right. Yet we just dove right into it. And it was really fun to watch because I think it was very intoxicating. And now people are starting to have got some experience with it and realize there's some challenges, there's some benefits, and there's some tactical advantages. What's exciting to me is as we watch this innovation of building AI applications happening, I think this is that new era of innovation. Where and how can this really help us as we figure out what it can do and what it can't do? In the beginning, it was every marketer's friend, ask it to write something for me, or every CEO's friend, I don't need a marketing department anymore. I don't need this. I could just ask ChatGPT. I think those are all funny, you know, iterations of what's happening. As the dust settles, I think there's going to be some very important changes that come about as we figure out how to point AI at the right problems. And I will tell you, many of us can relate to our own personal lives of navigating healthcare as an example, how complicated it is. And if you're an American, you know, the challenges of insurance and just how all of that doesn't work. And in the end leaves people in need of care. That's begging for help. I think, you know, that's one of many very big examples in the world of where we can actually apply. I'm excited about that. And I think this is another area where technology has a role. We're finding it. It's not just to make widgets. It's to really think about how we bring this to bear. So I'm excited about that. And I'm excited to see what happens, to learn more, and to help people on that journey.
Yeah, very good. I completely share your excitement about AI. I think it has huge potential to make the world a better place, as long as we manage some of the risks and the challenges that come with it. So very, very good conversation. Thank you so much, Ceci, for sharing all your insights with us today about the connectivity cloud and beyond. So anyone who ever wants to re-watch or re-listen to this, simply head to my podcast or my YouTube channel. Until then, thank you very much. And thank you, Ceci.
Thank you, Bernard.